Want the same expert advice you get from the pros in the store while shopping online at DiscountTire.com? Meet Treadwell, your personal online tire guide that matches you with the perfect tire for your vehicle. Get your best match in 1 minute or less with Treadwell by Discount Tire. Let's get you taken care of.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible. Financial geniuses. Monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Hello, everybody. This is the Tour Coach. You know, these are my conversations and my stories and roundtable discussions from my travels and Jackson Court's travels in the world of golf, whether they're teachers, they're players, coaches, fitness experts, whatever it is. It's the people that we meet, we talk to, trust, learn from, work with. All of it, we sit down and we talk and we share it with you to hopefully help give you some enjoyment, give you some inspiration, and also, more than anything, help your game. Our follows are going through the roof. The views and the comments about our content have been overwhelming. So please check out Dew Sweeper TV over on YouTube. Make sure you listen, subscribe, and none of this could be remotely possible without our sponsors. And that, of course, is Srixon Golf, Bushnell Golf, Vineyard Vines, Mitch McConnell and the folks at McConnell Automotive and Buick GMC. And you obviously can't forget Ed Rowan, Taylor Martino and Rowan, and Stokely's Midtown Garden Center. All of that support makes the Dew Sweepers radio show, the Tour Coach, and Dew Sweepers TV all possible. So stay tuned and enjoy this conversation here on the Tour Coach. 3-2-1 here, Tour Coach on location at a very, very special retreat down at Old Palm, my home, which is such a great place. And we're at the condo here in and on Club Drive, and this is one of those round tables that some of you people that like to listen to us get to hear. And we got a special night. We've got myself, Jackson Court in the hizzy, back. Feel like the prodigal son's come home. Morgan Hale went out to dinner with us. I probably offended her. She didn't come here for the podcast. We got one of our favorite juniors, Baker Tolentino. Down from North Carolina. I mean, your dad really needs to think about what he sends you into, because I'll be honest, it's been some interesting shit. Will McFadden, we voted him onto the Mount Rushmore of Dew Sweepers tonight. Down here, he's off his second win as a professional. And then we got Dr. Greg Carton. Doc, you're the best. I just can't emphasize that enough. And then we've got Nick Domingo from golf.com and various attributes. And then last but not least, and you're going to hear a lot about this, and it's probably going to start its own little bit of a cultural following, if I was to say this, but Salad Boy. And we'll get into that later. I don't go out to eat very many people that don't eat meat and order salads.
I eat meat. Had chicken on it.
Doesn't count, bud. All right, so we'll get it. No, Salad Boy, SB, you're going. If you want to be invited back, you wait your turn. All right,
I didn't know. I was given a microphone.
All right, we're going to start this out. Let's, Doc. You've had some really interesting insights over the week. We've had an awesome group of a mix of people, and we've been filming some content, which is going to be out. Some's going to be on golf.com. Some's going to be on the Tour Coach and Pro Work. Talk a little bit about what you've seen. You seem like the most educated guy here and still most sensible. So you start us off.
Well, it's a lot of pressure. I've been to a lot of these, and nothing surprises me as it relates to coming to these things, meaning they all run well, and everyone's engaged, and people are learning, and the questions are great, and we got people from all over the country, all different ages.
Which I think is kind of the cool thing, different ages, different people.
It's always been the best part of these, that you get people from all over the place and people have a great time. And I've always said this, that the model has always been you can get better and have fun at the same time. And I think we probably stressed the fun part more, but it translates into guys being more engaged and getting better and learning.
Look, can I ask you a serious question? Why do you think the fun part's so important?
Because if you're enjoying what you're doing and not waiting to achieve something to have fun, you tend to achieve things quicker. Meaning most people think that you have to wait to be happy, or you have to wait till you achieve something to be happy. Like, once I get my car, or once I break 80, or once I shoot the course record, whatever it may be, then I'll be happy. But here, the model's always been, we have a great time, and people are more engaged in what they're doing, and the results don't matter as much sometimes, right? Even like when we're talking, or when you're doing stuff in the Bay, and we talk about, well, you go on the golf course, and you commit to what you're working on, and you abandon the results for a little bit, and you really sort of put whatever you've been working on into play. And ironically, when you have more fun, you tend to improve quicker or achieve more quicker, in my opinion, what I've seen over the years.
I love that. And that made us sound reasonably intelligent. So we might as well shift this. Do you have a question, Jackson? Not yet. You will. Nick Domingo.
Pass it on to the guys who you've seen. This is their first.
This is you. This is y'all's first.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is your all first soiree with us. What are your opinions? What are your thoughts? And you can be brutally honest because we can edit this. So, like, you know, what do you?
Well,
think?
Let's see.
It's a different format. Yeah, and like, you've been around a bunch of great teachers, good teachers, and it's a little different the way we work. We do include chicken wings. What do y'all think?
No, I mean, look, I couldn't agree with you, Doc, more than what you said, like the fun part of it, right? There was a time this morning or this afternoon we were with you, Jackson, putting around, and I kind of, like Jake and I kind of did our own thing after you gave some of the drills, just kind of hitting putts or whatever. And a lot of the times you go to these camps, it's like, or these retreats or whatever you want to call them, it's like everyone's there. And they have to dial in on the drill. And you're kind of like the kid, right? Like the summer camp. Like, we're off on the side kind of being the bad kids. Like, man, pay the fuck attention to, like, what's going on. And, you know, dial yourself in. I think you gave us the drill. And it was like, go out and you guys can do it. I don't need you. Like, I'm not your camp counselor. I don't need to supervise you, right? I think that made it fun for us to be like, all right, I'm not waiting my turn. Like, we're all out here. We're itching to play. And that helps, I think, Doc, to your point, like, the fun makes you hungry to compete. So we go out, do our thing, and it's like, well, who can do the, you know, 10% putting drill better? Like, well, let's compete against each other, right? We're not sitting there tense, and now the performance anxiety, you've got the whole, you know, class or student watching you. And then some of the stuff we did with the full swing tee in, you know, in the Bay, just it opens your eyes, like, you know, I mean, I'm on my back stretching in areas that my 40-year-old ass can't do, but it's all important to help my golf swing. And I think you guys keep that North Star there for every player who comes in. You work with, like, what they have and say, look, we're just here to make you a better player, and here's how to do it. So kind of dissecting that, I think you guys have done a really good job, and it's been so fun being out here and sharing laughs with you guys. So it's very relaxed, and I think that that fits mine, and I know Jake's personality that now makes us want to go out and get better.
Well, I'm going to turn it to Jake now because I've been wanting to ask him some few questions.
Sal boy.
All right, let's do this.
So, seriously, though, on a serious note, not only did you do a great job shooting some cool shit, but, like, I thought it was really cool working with you because you hadn't had a lot of instruction, but you're crazy passionate about getting better. Like, for sure. You could tell you wanted to get better. Mm. And so there's a lot of people that are crazy about the game of golf like you, but haven't had the opportunity, you know, to be around a bunch of us idiots. And so what was it like? I want your experience as somebody that hadn't had a lot of instruction, relatively new to the game. That doesn't mean you've never picked up a club. You've played golf. No, blah, blah, blah. You didn't have a pivot worth the shit. I'll be honest about that.
For sure.
But maybe the newest guy to the game that we've ever had at school. Right?
What do you,
I mean, a couple of years in, like 3 years in, probably two, three
That's
years in.
About as new as we've had as a student here. We don't have beginners.
Yeah, probably so. I'd probably agree with that. I don't know if that put him on the Mount Rushmore or not. But
wow.
But it's a different factor for someone who's.
Yeah, that's why you think I'm talking to him, Greg.
Sorry.
Yeah, come on. You're good. I thought.
Add a little color to that.
It's been a very cool experience. It's a little meat heavy, which I'm not.
Mean? Oh, meat.
Meat. It's a little meat heavy.
And I'll be honest, we're going to send you to the Sausage Freak Retreat, which is at the end of July.
I don't know what the fuck that means. Jesus. No, it's been really cool to actually have the ability to see like what you're doing wrong in your swing and somebody being like, yo, you're fucking this up. Just change this little thing. And then all of a sudden.
Watch your language. We keep this pretty wholesome.
No, but I mean, just having. Like, I don't ever have the opportunity to do the type of stuff that we did, like standing on like the pressure plate stuff and like seeing
pretty
what
cool.
Super cool. Like eye opening, really. Yeah, so like all of the bass stuff, the full swing stuff was super cool. And then getting to go out to the practice holes and actually work on short game and work on like 50 to 75 yards out, like that's a big issue for me in my game. So just being able to go out and like
and have for most
somebody,
people to be
yeah,
fair.
For
right?
sure. Like most mid to high handicappers, I would say, have trouble with approach shots and short game stuff. So just having like four or five people that are just around you, like, yo, do it this way. It's going to be way better. Was extremely beneficial, I would say.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, I think one of the cool things is, and Jackson, I'm going to turn this over to you to moderate for a second, just because I feel like you'd be good at it. But, is we had all degrees of students in there. We had you who hadn't been playing a ton. We had Nick, who's a very avid golfer. We had guys like Will, who's playing for a living. We had Baker, high school player, guys more advanced playing for a living. And to all extent, you know, they're working on very similar things, but they're at different degrees of their ability to do it. And I think that that's a cool thing for the recreational golfer to know is that, like, they're not working on stuff that – or the pro golfers aren't working on stuff that they're never going to get to. The pro golfers and the guys doing it for a living or girls doing it for a living may be further along at it. They may be able to do it bigger. They may be able to do it faster. But they're working on the same things. And when they struggle with it, they're struggling with the same things you are. So, like – for Salad Boy, like we taught a girl today and yesterday working on the same thing, right? A little too much lateral movement, knees sliding, right? She's working on the same thing that you are. Maybe you just started working it. You're not far as long, but it's the same thing. And I think that in a way is comforting for people to know that are at a different stage of learning the game. And that, like, I'm not trying to, because people are like, oh, I can't do that because they're the best players in the world. We're like, they're trying to do the same shit you are.
So I know you're throwing it to Jackson, but I think that was part of the whole experience too for us is what you said. Everyone as a guest here is willing to help. Mm-hmm. There's no judgment, right? Like when we played, we won against Baker. No, I mean, look, I'm not going to throw him under the bus. Look, it was an unfair match. We're adults.
Poor
he's
kid,
a kid,
he joined
you know?
A pickleball league.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, they're like he's out there helping us and giving us feedback on our shots. Like when we're with Will, you know, a guy just won a pro tournament. He's out here telling us like what you should and shouldn't do or what he sees. So not only do we have access to you guys as like, you know, mental coaches and putting coaches and full swing and all that. But like the other students who are here are actually helping us as well. And I think that's pretty cool. I mean, it makes it very inclusive, which I think the game of golf really, really needs because it can be so intimidating.
Question for you two. Whether you know it or not, one of the things I think that makes these retreats special for me is I think the care that goes into getting each person better. Something I've picked up on Tony over the years is it doesn't matter what stage you're in. He truly wants you to get better. I've taken that into my career. Morgan's taken that into hers. But in that same pursuit of trying to get you guys to your goals, we're also always trying to get better in our pursuit. So if there was something in which we could do different or better, what is that?
Honestly, I think it's pretty solid. I mean, this was the first one that I've ever been to, but like everything was very well thought out. Like I like the like different
stations.
Yeah, like stations for the different stuff. Like it felt like everybody was paying attention to you. You got a lot of help everywhere. So I don't really have anything.
Yeah, I think Tony.
To be honest, yeah,
you can.
I am, though, but for real, like I mean, I feel like
because we can edit.
I feel like I probably got a good amount better as long as I can practice and like keep doing the stuff
you
at home.
Practice.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Which I'm all about.
But that's about any sport that you do.
Definitely. Yeah. So, but like just being given the actual, like, here's like the mechanics, like this is what you need to actually be doing is something that I've never really had. So having a whole group of people just show me a bunch of things, it's like, oh, this is super dope. Like, I think it's been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, Tony, you said it, you know, we were in the bay the first, like, 30 minutes yesterday, I guess, on the first day. And you were like, guys are just going to hang out. They're going to watch you. They're going to throw you tips. And I think, to your question, Jackson, like, that is helpful. Because, again, I've been very fortunate to go to a lot of these. And there's not that personal care. So, like, when you ask for honest feedback, like, Jake nailed it, man. Like, you guys do it really, really well. And then I like you kind of, again, I kind of related to summer camp earlier, but like, all right, we've given you the information, like now go out, like go play the three practice holes, make it three holes if that's all you want to play. Play 18 if you want to go six times around, you know, and I think, exactly. And I think that's cool because what it does is it allows you to, we said it actually best on the car ride home, like we can't, if we flew back to Seattle and we wanted to put this into practice, we're not going to go to the range because you want to go to the course, right? That's just human nature. You want to, as a golfer, go to the course. We would play so shitty if we went and played golf after flying cross country because we're trying to think, well, how do we do this, right? And so many of these schools or like retreats will say, all right, see ya, you're out. Like, we've done our time with you. Like, go. And I think having those practice holes, going out there and being like, remember, do not focus on the result. Like, Doc, you're out there, you know, making your rounds and be like, look, man, it's a process. And, you know, Baker said it to us out on the course when we were playing with him. He's like, you just got to trust it, man. Like, it's so hard to fall back into habits, but like getting the fundamental in your head to say, just trust these guys because they're the best in the biz. That's you guys are killing it with that.
Possibly a nugget for the future, because we had talked about this a little bit on the phone previously. And I was like trying to change the business model a little bit because I struggle. I love coaching, but I struggle with, you get somebody in there for an hour, looks a little better, you think you made progress, you slap them on the back, they walk out, and you don't see them till next time. All right, and I asked Tony this when we got back to the condo today. It's like, T, if you didn't answer any texts through the day, how many golf texts would you have gotten? He said 150? 200? Like, I thought I got a lot when I leave the day, and I've got like 45 text messages that I've got to catch up on, but he's got
three times that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's true coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and that's why I like these golf camps. Correct, because it's a follow up. Like you do, because he does a really good job the first day of like, this is what we're working on. We're only going to give you this stuff the next couple days. We might do it in a different manner, but then that follow up going forward, I think is the piece. Maybe, and maybe I'm just talking selfishly into my own instruction, in which I'm trying to figure out and how to get people better between the gaps.
This may go back to our conversation before. I think as a teacher and or in any profession, you can only do so much.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes, really.
Really?
Yeah, and it doesn't mean you can't go all out, but you've got to define for yourself what would be acceptable for you as it relates to what you want to, for what you want to provide for somebody.
Well, Doc, I have a question on that.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Because like what you're saying, right? Like you could have, like say Jake shows up and you're like, God, this kid, say he's Baker's age, 16 years old, right? And you're like, this kid shows up and you're like, I see so much potential in this kid, but I can't squeeze out all the juice to get it. Like you're like, to Doc's point, right? Like he's doing everything he can. This, he just doesn't want it. He can't get to that next year, right? And so I think you give yourself credit. I mean, think about just a teacher you had in middle school. I say this a lot to people when they ask me, like, well, how can I get on the top 100 list? Or how can I improve this? Or what do you like in a teacher? I'm like, everyone's different. But when I think about a middle school teacher I had, the ones who stand out, they were great communicators and they talked to me the way I wanted to be talked to. But that's different than how any of these guys want to be talked to, right? So it might not be like, just because you're not getting 150 text messages, let's face it, like Tony can't answer all those. He's not going to, you know, be able to get to him right away. But so how, when he gets to him, how do you communicate the right way back to him, right?
Yeah, and you're still relatively new in your role, right? So when I was in grad school, I remember my advisor would say, when you guys get out of here, you're going to think you're going to save everyone that you work with. You're going to make massive difference in everyone's lives, and you're going to be able to work with everybody, and you're all wrong. It's not how it goes. No, but I mean, the point being is, but then she would say, you have to define for yourself what you think would make you feel good as it relates to what you give somebody, and you can't do it for everybody, right? Like Tony, even you teach a lot, right? Do you think your lessons are the same at 8 in the morning as they are at 6 at night? They're not. They can't be. No one can do that, right? So for you, you have to define, and we're getting off topic here a little bit, but I had to do this too. The model I work under is my clients pay me a monthly fee, and that gives them access to reach out whenever they want, right? Like, so I go, my phone's always on. I'm always going to respond. And sometimes you just can't. You just can't. And when I do sometimes, I'm not giving someone what they need because it's late in the day or I've had talked to 15 people that day and I'm tired and it's just too much. So you may be falling into that trap as, not that you're not new in this industry, but new in your role as you're the director of instruction and you want to make everyone better, which everyone you work with gets better. But you've got to, I don't know, I think you have to just set some boundaries for yourself, which would help with that. So this I was completely off topic, but I think that was probably the question you asked me before in the podcast too, was sort of getting at that.
That was more player focused.
Yeah.
This is more like, I don't know, sometimes I just struggle with the coaching model and like, how can we make it better?
I don't know if you can though, because a lot of it is based on
the student.
Yeah, because like if the student, like they say they want to get better, but then who actually wants to put in the work to actually become better, and you can't control what somebody else does outside of your presence, right? You know,
and you'll develop that skill of knowing that as you go on. Yeah. You'll realize this guy doesn't need so much, this guy needs a lot. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah,
that's true. I think, like, that's been my experience.
Michael Jordan didn't need to be coached. Dennis Rodman probably needed to be managed, but a lot of those guys on those Bulls teams needed to be coached. They needed their ass kicked, right? You saw probably was it Last Dance, right? Or whatever it was called. Like, Jordan got on those guys. He was self-motivated. But Phil Jackson, he just communicated with him. He's like, just manage these guys. Help me manage them, right? That's kind of your job. And Jake and I kind of talked about it with the drill you gave us, with the green reading drill with the alignment sticks. And we're like, I do not know when I'm going to actually be able to put that to practice. Because when we practice on a public course, on a Saturday in Seattle in May, like there's 150 people out there and it's like, it's impossible, right? But that has nothing to do with you as a coach. We have that practice drill. It's a matter of like, well, if you want to put in the work, go do it in your fucking living room, right? Like, just do something to get that speed and get that feel. So it comes down to the student, in my opinion, like what you said, Doc. How hungry are they to put in the work?
What I think, and I think, and I, you know, I think our job is to try to help everybody in front of us and to figure out what motivates the person in front of us, right?
The motivation factor is different.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and I think we...
The skill of a good coach who understands the student and what they need.
Yeah, and I think understanding, you know, I think I've said this before. I up in New Jersey talked to some folks earlier this week. Like, I think for the most part, Nick, like you would know this maybe more than anybody sitting at this round table, that all of us teachers to get to a certain point have a lot of the same knowledge, a lot of the same information. I mean, regardless of what someone will say, there's nobody that has a magic bullet or a magic bullshit thing that's going to make everybody better, right? It's how you coach, how you teach, how you develop. And so I think that, you know, I mean, I think that's the real thing that separates people.
Also, you missed an important piece, I think, is the relationship you develop.
It's all about the relationship you develop with your students. Teaching is all about relationships. What I do is all about the relationships and trust, and that's the most important piece. Like you said, all golf teachers have access to all the technology, and there's a lot of guys that are really good teachers.
We'll kind of wrap this one up, Greg, to summarize this whole thing for us.
Are we done?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Nobody's talking about
it. Well, I will. So I was just saying it. I think that all good teaching, coaching, counseling, all comes down to relationships and trust. And I think that we do that. We develop rapport and relationships with people right away in these schools. And that's why I think guys really enjoy coming to schools.
Good job, Doc.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero. And look, recently, several teachers I know and several players have had some scares with skin cancer. In fact, I recently went and saw a dermatologist here in town, and I had a couple things frozen off, eyelid, my face, my earlobe, and not getting any younger. And I know it's getting to that time of the season where it's cooler, but look, being in the sun is a real deal, and I've not been very good, to be totally honest, my whole career using it at all because I didn't like how greasy it was, how hard it was to get off your hands, how it clogged up my pores. And then I found this sunscreen, Visor Skincare. It's clear. It goes on. It doesn't dry you out. It isn't greasy. It's like you didn't put anything on. By far, it's the best sunscreen I've ever used. Without a doubt, is the easiest to use. And we've got a discount code for all of you. All you have to do is go to visorskincare.com, is use our code word, DewSweeper. VisorSkincare.com, code word DewSweeper. I just want to remind everybody something that I forgot. Recently, a couple weeks ago, my wife and I went out. We went to a wedding, and afterwards, with some friends, we were like, hey, where's a great place to go? I'll be honest, like, in my travels and day-to-day, sometimes I get caught up and I forget some of the great places right around the corner. But I got to remind you about the Icebox Bar on 755 Monroe Street. I was blown away by just the whole vibe, the atmosphere, and with the Velvet Pig, the food in the back room and the big screen TVs up front. We sat there and watched some playoff games. I was blown away by the atmosphere, the vibe, and just how cool it was to have the Icebox Bar right here near the DewSweepers downtown, near where I live. You're looking for a great place to go sit, watch some games, hang out, play some pool. You got to go to the Icebox Bar right there on Monroe Street. There's a good chance you'll see all of us hanging out. But do yourself a favor. Go visit the Icebox. It's one of the best places out there.